Amen. We've got folks in our church family right now dealing with death. That could be your family. Amen. And it is your family. It's your church family. Amen. So we need to be much in prayer for them. But like, you know, like what one preacher said, I'd rather be here than the finest funeral home in America. Amen. We got a lot to be thankful for tonight. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Hosea chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3. Like I said this morning, this is probably the second greatest love story in the Bible behind Jesus and behind God. How many has never heard the story of Hosea and Gomer? Raise your hand. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you never heard the story of Hosea and Gomer, amen. Everybody, well, good. Praise the Lord. Hosea chapter 3, when you get there, let's stand. If you're there, say amen. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who took to other gods and loves flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. Then I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. God, we love you. God, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you've done already today. God, I thank you, God, for the sweet spirit that we can feel, Lord. And I thank you, God, for being able to get the choir going again, God. And I pray right now, Lord, your blessings upon us, God. God, you just move right now, Lord. Help us to know, Lord, tonight, God, to see how much you really love us, God. God, I thank you for your word, Lord. And I pray, God, you would move right now, God. Help us to, Lord, in all that we do just to honor you and glorify you, Lord. And Lord, if we'll do that, everything else will work out fine, God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God does some strange things in the Bible. If you read the Bible, you find where God had some of his prophets do some strange things. Amen. And I'm not going to really get into all of them that some of the prophets had to do. But this is one of the things that we don't understand in our minds. This is a story of a prophet of God that God told to go out and marry a prostitute. Because God was going to show him through this marriage what Israel had done to him. Amen? And let's just be honest. There's not a Christian in this building tonight that ain't done the same thing. There's not a one of us that been everything we're supposed to be since we got saved. Somebody say amen. We've all done it. We've all, and I want you to get a picture in your mind. In the first couple of chapters, we find that he goes out, he marries this woman. They have three children. The first one is named Jezreel, the son. And his name means basically, I will avenge. God is naming these children with a purpose. The next one is a daughter named Loramara, which means no mercy. The next one is a son named Loami, which means not mine. Now, if you study this, and some scholars believe that the first child, if you read the Bible, Brother Ed, the first child was his. The other two, they don't think was. Tells you what kind of woman he's dealing with. He brings her in, Brother Larry. He brings her into a godly home. He brings her in to understand something. She, if you study this out, she comes from the northern kingdom, and David's been doing a good job as far as teaching the northern kingdom. We know that they fell into idolatry. We know that they did things. That the king of the northern kingdom had actually set up two different places for them to worship Baal. And some scholars might even believe, Mike, that she was a temple prostitute. So he brings her from the northern kingdom, brings her to a godly place, sets her in a godly home. He is good. I'm talking about she's got a godly husband. She's got a nice, clean house. She's got everything she ever wanted or ever could even imagine in her mind. This is all I'll ever need right here. But after a while, Kevin, the lure of the other life comes back. So she starts stepping out. And the fact of the matter is, most of us wouldn't put up with that. Don't everybody shout me down at one time. Amen. Let's just be honest. Most of us wouldn't put up with that. I mean, you know, if we're being generous now, you know, we would say in our mind, well, everybody can make one mistake. Everybody can make one mistake. You know, if your wife or your husband come to you and says, listen, this is what happened. And you pray and you seek God and God intervenes. And let me tell you, it's happened in marriage. Amen. It's happened that people can make that mistake and still stay together and God still move and God still bless. What about the fifth time? Or the sixth time? Or the seventh time? And how many times have you done it to God? And I want you to get a picture. Now, I want you to get a picture. In chapter 3, we find here, she has gone back out. She has gone out and ravished herself. She has sold herself, Brother Tony. It's past the point of having lovers. You know, that's one thing when you got a lover. That's when it's exciting. When you got a lover, the forbidden fruit. That's when it's exciting. That's when, you know, when she's young, Taylor, and she's still got her beauty. She still looks good. She still likes it when she walks down the street and she hears whistling. And she walks down the street and she sees men turn their head, Brother Robert. That's when it's still exciting. But now, she's got to the point. She is being sold on an auction as a slave. You got to understand something. If you continue on that path that you're on, if we ain't careful, let me tell you something. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But how many times do we have to come back to Jesus begging Jesus to forgive us and Him take us back? I don't know. I kind of see it in my mind how that maybe she had come back to her husband maybe over time. I don't know, David. The Bible don't say this, but I'm just kind of reasoning things in my mind. How that she come back, he take her in. She come back, he take her in. She come back, he take her in. But now she's got to the point where she's out there, Brother Ed, and she's done too much. And y'all know how things are in our day and time, amen? You know how things are in our day and time. Somebody gets in that kind of a lifestyle, next thing you know, there's drugs involved. Now you got drugs involved. Now you got somebody that's selling their body just to take care of the habit. She's standing up there, nowhere near the woman that she used to be. Nowhere near the beautiful lady that she used to be. Nowhere near what she used to be. And there are Christians sitting in churches today that have been ravished by sin. And I'm not talking about backslid. I'm talking about Christians now. Ravaged by sin. But get a picture. We're having this public auction today. We're auctioning off some slaves. We've already gone through all the good stock. We've got one more. And you notice there's a crowd there. And here they bring Gomer up. Head bowed down, eyes black, hair matted, just dirty. Won't even look up. Maybe in some way, shape, or form, preacher, she had done something. She had got with a man maybe one last time, and he had kind of brought her in, and now he's used her up. And now he don't want her anymore. But instead of just kicking her out, he said, I'll just take her down to the slave market. and I'll just sell her. That way at least I can get something. We're going to start the bidding off. 5 pieces of silver. Can I have 5 pieces of silver? She's still in fairly decent shape. Can I have 5 pieces of silver? Somebody said, I'll give you 5. She's worth at least 5. She can't do nothing but clean a house. She's worth at least 5. I'll give you 6. The bidding's kind of slow. 7. I'll give you 7. Gomer ain't even hearing what's going on because she's just in her own little world. Her body's ravaged. Her mind's just wondering what in the world, what am I going to have to put up with next? Who am I going to have to deal with next? Where am I going to have to go next? 7. Can I have 7? Is there, somebody give me 8. Can I hear 8? Silence on the crowd. Not even worth 8. Then in the back of the crowd, I'll give you 15 and 10 bushels of wheat. Maybe Gomer heard that. She's thinking, oh Lord, who is this? This is going to be another one of those men. I got 15 going once. Sold. She's up there shaking in all of her sin, all of her filth, matted hair, black eyes sunk in, dirt all over her, Brother David. And everything's silent in her mind. She just don't pay attention. And all of a sudden, somebody comes up and puts his arm around her. Says, we going home. We going home. And she looks up into the eyes of her beloved husband. As he takes a robe that he's brought with him, and he slips it around her, more likely she's naked. He takes that robe and he slips it around her. And he says, this is it. You ain't living like this no more. I'm taking you home. You're going to be mine and I'm going to be yours. What a beautiful story. Like I said, the second greatest love story in the Bible. Now, real quick, I'm just going to look at just a few things. The sin. The sin. Verse 5. Second, chapter 2, verse 5. For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them and done shamefully. She hath said, I will go after my lovers and give them my bread and my water and my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. She had a great husband, but she was not satisfied with him. What's going on in your life that you're not happy with Jesus? What is it that you have to keep running back to? I'm preaching to Christians, amen? I'm preaching to Christians. What is it that we have to keep playing with? What is it that we have to keep doing? What is it that we can't turn loose of? That was her sin. Her sin was she, you know, the lure. I think about Lot's wife when I think about stuff like that. I think about Lot's wife, how she looked back. And let me tell you something, folks, there's nothing to look back from. Amen. There's nothing to look back from. That sin right there, and I think about the prodigal son. I mean, he had a good home, he had a good daddy, and had everything was perfect. But the lure. And if we're not careful, the lure of the world can take us out. There are people tonight that's not in church tonight that 10 years ago they would have told you ain't nothing in this world Whatever, get me out of church. Me and Brother Larry talked about this before. How did people stand up, Brother Robert, in church and testify and tell a lie? Well, all the hell could come against me. I'm telling you right now, I got a made-up mind, and half of them ain't in church tonight. That's the sin. Now, I want you to notice something. The slipping. It don't happen all at once. She didn't wake up one morning and say, I think I'm just going to go be a harlot and have my body ravished. She didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to go do all that. It happened over time. And that's how that's how Satan works on us. It happens over time. He draws us out. He lures us out. I will never forget seeing a illustration. I think I'll do this tonight. Brother Robert, come here. Preacher, David, Trevor, y'all come here. Come on up here a minute. Y'all stand around me. Come here, Taylor. Y'all get, hold hands and get a circle. Come on, get in. Make a circle. Well, Taylor, get in the middle. Taylor is engulfed in the presence of God. Taylor cannot be gotten. Satan cannot cross the bloodline. There ain't no way. I'm playing the devil right now. There ain't no way I can get to him because the blood of Jesus, the angels are there. I cannot get to him. Y'all boys, don't move. Turn around, Taylor. Put your hands up. Follow me. Come on, Taylor. You got this. Come on. Come on, Taylor. Oh, you know you want to get in the world. That's all you got. Oh, it's so fun, ain't it? My Lord, ain't we having fun? And he's gone. Thank you. Thank you, guys. That's all it takes. The devil ain't going to jump on your back in the morning with a red suit on and a pitchfork and say, I got you. He's going to walk by you with a pretty smile. He's going to walk by you with a nice sundress. He's going to walk by you with a nice suit on and start drawing you out. That's the slipping, folks. We've got to be able to have our mindset to know that what's going on in our life. And now don't you look at, hey, the sin, the slipping, but now let's look at the sorrow of being in the bottom. I remember in that old church. I'm not going to call no names because somebody might know it. But if I called a name, most everybody in here would know who I'm talking about. There was a young man at one time that was a painter. Had a great job. Got strung out on drugs. Stood in that old church over there, Tony. Testified. This is what he testified. I'm so glad God pulled me out. I was strung out on drugs, being in jail, done this, done that. Just ruined my life. And God brought me out of that. And I'm sitting there thinking, thank God I ain't never had to go to the bottom for God to get my attention. All of us know people that's been to the bottom. All of us know people that's been to the bottom. And it's because of sin. Gomer had got to the point she could not get no lower. She could not go no further down. There was nothing else that could happen. I mean, listen, death would have been a welcome thing to her. She had got to the bottom. Aren't you glad? Let me tell you something, folks. I've slipped. I've sinned. I've slipped. But thank God there was a light come on somewhere or another. Thank God there was, just like we were doing the little patty cake thing up here, thank God there was a place where I'm patty caking with the devil, and Jesus said, you better get back in there, son. And Jesus come on the scene, got between me and the devil, and I run back over there and got in that encasement, glory to God. Thank God that God will do that for you. Maybe you're here tonight, and there's somebody here tonight that you didn't do that, and you had to go to the bottom. Folks, I'm telling you, You ain't got to go that far. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm telling you, the love of Jesus is there, amen? For the wages of sin is death. Amen. The Bible says, James chapter 1, verse 15, then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But you got to turn it loose. You got to turn it loose. Because I'm telling you right now, the sorrow is awful. But now look at the sacrifice. Hosea left home that day, Brother Tony. Obviously, he knew where she was at. Don't make me just preach, be plain and preach that to y'all. He knew where she was at, Brother Barry. He had not never left her. He always knew where she was at. I believe with all my heart, there was never a time that she was with another lover that he didn't know where she was at, glory to God. That's how my Jesus is, amen. He knew exactly every time Israel had sinned against him. He knew exactly every time where they were. When he left home, when Hosea left home, he left with 15 pieces of silver and 10 bushels of barley. He knew that she was not going to be worth the price of a normal slave. Now get this picture. We all say that he went and bought her back. No, he didn't. Hosea did not buy her. She was already his. All he would have had to do, Miss Nancy, was show that marriage license. And they would have had to give her to him. Hosea was not a rich man. Hosea said, I'm going to give something for her. I want her to know, Alan, that she ain't worthless. I want her to know that somebody still puts a value on her life. Let me tell you something. When Jesus made that sacrifice for you, Jesus didn't buy you back. You were already his. There ain't never been a time that you were not his. There ain't never been a time. The Bible says, God says all souls are mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I'm telling you right now, there ain't never been a time since you've been breathing and had air in your lungs that you were not God's. You've always been God. God's always in control. He's in control of everything. And when Jesus died on that cross, he was not buying you back. He said, I want you to know that you were something. He loved you enough that he died for you. Folks, that's love. My Lord, that's love. Now, I want you to think about this, the sanctifying. Just like I said a while ago, I can see Hosea as he walks up to her and he puts that robe on her and covers her up. That's all sanctification is. Making holy. We're going to walk back through this crowd, but they ain't going to see your nakedness. We're going to walk back through this crowd. They ain't going to see you as a slave. I believe he had her hand in his hand, David. They look. Hey, she might have walked in as a slave, but glory to God, she was walking out with a husband, amen. She might have walked in as a slave with nothing, but she's walking out with somebody that loved her. She might have walked in with absolutely nothing, but glory to God, she's going back to a house. Hey, she's going back to a place that husband was waiting on her to get there. Hey, Jesus has prepared a place for you and I, glory to God, and one of these days, he's going to come get us, amen. I want you to think about this, and I'm going to come to a close. The stipulations. The stipulations. Now listen. Verse 3 in chapter 3. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. Thou shalt abide. Jesus wants us to abide with him. In other words, what he wants us to do is when he comes and redeems us, and he has to do that multiple times, amen. Don't do that no more. Let me tell you something. There's things, Brother Tony, there's things that I got over years ago. Praise God. There's things, I can shout it out about not having to worry about some things, amen. Amen. Some of y'all need to shake your head. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about cussing no more. Amen. Praise God. That's something to be happy over right there. I used to have a filthy mouth. I don't have to worry about that. I've over that. Amen. I don't have to worry about gambling. I don't have to worry about drinking. Amen. That stuff don't. The devil already knows, Mike, not to even come my way with that. But there are things. There are things that he still throws at me. But Jesus said, now listen, when I forgive you that, don't go back to it. You're going to abide with me. Amen. Keep yourself for me. Amen. That's the stipulation. And then you got to think about this. She had to accept it. You never read nowhere in this passage of Scripture where she said, no, I don't want to go home with you. That would have been stupid. I like where I'm at. I don't want to go home with you. See, the problem is a lot of times we come to church. We know Jesus is here to forgive us. We know there's love there. We know Jesus. But we won't accept it. We won't ask for it. We're too prideful or too, this ain't politically correct, but we're either too prideful or just too stupid not to ask him to forgive us when it's right there. When it's right there. Folks, Jesus loves you. And we're going to make mistakes. We're going to all mess up. Listen, like I said, this is the greatest love story other than Jesus. And I want you to know something. Whatever you've done, wherever you're at, whatever's going on in your life, Jesus still loves you. And if he would send Hosea to go get Gomer, he'll come get you. I want you to bow your heads. Maybe you're here and you got things going on in your life and you just want to come pray. Maybe you got some things that you just want to talk to the Lord about. I ain't got to know. I don't need to know. Amen. But maybe there's some things in your life and you feel like you've been slipping and you've been kind of just going in the wrong direction. Maybe you want to come down to this altar. I just want to give you just a little bit, just a while. God, we love you. We